Welcome, good evening. And I have wonderful news. Our church building is empty tonight. That's not the wonderful news, but here's the wonderful news. It's okay that the church building is empty because so is the tomb.
Yay.
And that's why we're together. We're celebrating an empty tomb and a risen Savior. And hallelujah, we have something to really celebrate and party about. And that's what we want to do as we're together tonight. We're going to begin with a prayer, and then Pansy is going to play a couple of hymns for us. Being Easter, I just couldn't imagine worshiping without some music. We'll see how it goes. Jeremy, I would hope you could unmute everyone so that we can all sing together. When we come to that, and Jeremy's going to have the words up for us so that we can see the words, and if you don't know it, you can hum along or learn it. We're not trying to make a beautiful harmony, we're trying to make a joyful noise to the Lord, so however it comes out is just fine. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing tonight. Father, we're so grateful that the tomb is not the end of the story. The tomb and death do not have the final word. You do. And your final word is resurrection and life, life eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we celebrate tonight the awesome, awesome experience of resurrected life. Father, my prayer is that as we're together, as we hear your word, as we sing your praise, that we'll be encouraged and that we will find hope and we will find faith in our Lord Jesus and that we'll walk with him today and tomorrow and every day. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's sing.
Tell me when you have some words.
The words are up.
Oh,
great. No, because he lives is up. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yep, I'd have done it the other way. Oh, now low in the grave is up. Thank you, Jeremy.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark glory, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark glory, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Amen. Amen. Hope you could hear more than just me.
Yeah, it's a lot you.
Oh. should I tone it down?
Well, just maybe move to the other side of Granddad.
Okay.
Or turn the microphone towards the head.
Jesus, he came to me. He lived and died to buy my pardon. The empty grave is here to me, my Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, he is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth a living just because he lives.
Sweet
to soul, whatever it may be, they feel the love and joy he gives. What great mercy! This child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives. Because he lives. All here is all. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a day just because he lives. And then one day across the river, I'll find my song, and then I'll say, I'll see the lights of glory,
All right. Thank you, Pansy. And thank you, Jeremy, for getting the words up for us. Well, I have a children's story. I'm trying to decide how to arrange things here on my table so that I can, so that everybody can see what I have. I'm going to try this. Yeah, I think that might work pretty good. Okay, you can see my saucer with two eggs in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about eggs and graves. They go together, right?
No.
Can't imagine what a grave has to do with an egg. Well, what happens when somebody dies? Anybody?
They get buried.
Yeah, they get buried, don't they? We take them to the undertaker. The undertaker prepares their body. We put them in a coffin. And then eventually that gets sealed up. We dig a big hole in the ground and put the coffin down in the ground and cover it up with the dirt. And then the person is buried. And we grieve. And we remember their life, but pardon me, we don't see them again because they're gone. And this egg is kind of like that. Oh, I have a question first. What would happen after somebody's buried in a grave? What would happen if you dug up the grave and you pulled the coffin up out of the grave and you opened it? What would you find?
It would smell bad.
It would smell bad.
Okay.
And you would find a skeleton.
I'm sorry, what?
And you would find a skeleton.
Skeleton.
Oh, a skeleton. Yes, yes. You'd find the remains of the person who died. And that's where these eggs come in. Okay? These eggs are like coffins, if you will. There's something inside them, right?
Yeah.
Every time you've cracked an egg, you've found something inside of it. So I have this egg and this egg. Now, if I take this egg and I crack it on the side of this dish, what's going to happen?
It'll break open.
It'll break open and the stuff inside will come out.
Okay, it'll break open and the stuff inside will come out. And the stuff inside is called egg, isn't it? Well, let's do that. Let's see what happens. Oh, look. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It opened up and there's now an egg in my dish. Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You're impressed, aren't you?
Now,
let me ask you this. Can you imagine digging up a grave of someone and finding that grave is empty, that there's no one in it? You were at the funeral. You saw the coffin. You saw that the person was in it. You watched it lowered down into the ground and covered with dirt. And then sometime later, it was dug up again, and they raised the coffin out of the ground, and they opened it, and it was empty. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, it'd be impossible for me to crack an egg open and it'd be empty, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it. Okay, here we go. I cracked it and opened it. What came out?
Nothing.
The egg's empty. Did you ever know a chicken to lay an empty egg?
No.
But I've got an empty egg here.
Oh.
And when Jesus' tomb was opened, when they went back to see the tomb where Jesus was buried, they watched where he was buried. They saw them put his body in there. But when they came back 3 days later, the tomb was open and it was empty because Jesus wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. God raised him from the dead and he lives forever. And because he does, we can live forever. Just like the song we sang, because he lives. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks so much for the fact that we have an empty grave. We celebrate a risen Lord, a risen Savior. And we just welcome you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that each of these children will have faith that will continue to grow in the resurrection and the life of our Lord Jesus. And they'll find joy and peace in him every day of their lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll set this back up so that hopefully you can see me a little better. Okay. If you have your Bibles and you would like to follow with me, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I'll be starting at verse 1.
Luke 24,
chapter 24. Now, we're starting the story on Easter morning, and oh, there's my iPad and my glasses, sorry. And so Jesus has already been crucified, and the disciples and the women who followed Jesus had spent Friday afternoon, evening, Saturday all day in grieving, in mourning, in sorrow, in sadness, wondering what's going on, because they had faith that Jesus was the Messiah. And that things were going to turn out differently, that he was going to reign here on earth forever. And now he's gone. And so we begin in Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, spices were used to preserve the body, and it was a way to honor the body of the person who had passed. And because it was on the preparation day before the Sabbath, they didn't have time to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial. And so when the Sabbath was over, the women went back to finish the job, if you will. And other translations talk about, not other translations, I think it's Matthew talks about how on the way the women were discussing, who's going to open the, roll the stone away for us? Who's going to open the tomb so we can get into Jesus' body? So in verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Wow, an empty tomb. One that they saw that had been filled, and now it was empty. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Now, these two men were angels. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. You know, I wonder how often we look for God in the wrong places. Women were asked, "Why are you looking for the living? Why are you looking for a living Savior, Jesus, among the dead? He's not here. He's not dead. He's risen." Well, they remembered then what Jesus had told them. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. That would be the rest of the disciples. And to all the others that were there. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So apparently it was quite a group of women. We have three by name, and then we have others that were there too. So they told the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Well, yeah. I mean, who's ever heard of an empty tomb? Who's ever heard of an empty egg? And yet, here it was. And they were telling him, they were explaining it to them. And they didn't seem to be understanding. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? What was going on here? Peter just didn't understand. And I have to confess, there's plenty of times I don't understand God either. And I think we all find ourselves in that situation sometimes, asking God, why is it this way? You know, we can look at the coronavirus and say, why are we having to go through this? What, where are you, God? Why haven't you shown up and fixed this? Well, I have another story I want us to go to, and that's found in John chapter 11. There's an interesting thing about Jesus. In the scripture, Jesus attends a number of funerals, or he runs into a number of dead people in the course of his ministry. And what's really interesting to me about that is this. Never do we see Jesus attending a funeral that ends in a burial. It just doesn't happen. And that includes his own. Jesus went to his own funeral and he was buried, but that wasn't the end of the story. He rose from the dead and he's alive. So in John chapter 11, we read the story about Lazarus. Pardon me. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. That's how we start the story. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. We remember the story, perhaps, of Jesus being at the table. He had gone to a house for supper, and when he got there, here comes this woman in. And she pours expensive perfume on his feet. And she wipes his feet with this perfume and with her tears, and then dries it with her hair. And Judas was told that, he was upset. This was terribly expensive perfume. It cost a year's wages. That money could have been given to the poor. And Jesus said, no, she's preparing me for burial. What she's done will be told about her as long as time exists. And so here we are, reflecting on that story of what she did for the Lord Jesus. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, as I read that, I had to think, how does that tell Jesus who it is that's sick? I mean, the one you love. Like, there's only one person in the world Jesus loves? You know, that didn't narrow it down at all, I don't think, for Jesus. Except he knew who the message was coming from. And he knew that they would have been referring to their brother, Lazarus. So when Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death." No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Okay? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. He loves these people. Somebody's sick. Based on everything we've seen about Jesus and his ministry, somebody came to him to be healed. He healed them right away. There was no lag time because they were right there. Or he immediately followed them home to where the sick person was. But this time, he loved him so much that when he got the news, he said, gonna hang out here another couple days. I mean, have you ever called on the Lord and it seemed he just took a vacation? That seems to be what's happening here. You know, God, I need you now. This coronavirus is all over the place. I need your protection. I need your healing. I've got a family member that's sick. I'm tired of being cooped up in my house. Stop this thing and let me get back to my normal life. And so Jesus waits 2 more days. He's got that privilege. He's God. It's okay for him to wait 2 more days. He's not at our beck and call. He's not our bellhop. He's not our servant. He's God. And he calls the shots. So here we are, 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Well, "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus, yeah, what's wrong with you? Don't you know the people there want to kill you? You don't have friends there. You got enemies there. You got people that are looking to do away with you. Why do you want to go back to Judea?" Well, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." And that's the way it is with illness. You know, you can often sleep, and after you sleep, your fever breaks, and you're feeling better, and you're up and about, and that was a sign of healing. And so the disciples are fully confused. You know, Jesus, you get the word, and you hang around here 2 days. Now you tell me you want to go back to Judea. We're telling you the folks there want to stone you, and now you're saying that he's sleeping, so that means he's going to get better. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Why are we going now? Jesus said, he had been speaking of Lazarus' death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So when Jesus said he's sleeping, he means he's dead. But when he says, "I'm going to wake him up," he's saying, he's not dead forever. He's going to live again. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now, Jesus was glad that Lazarus died. I mean, that's not the way I see it. That's not the way I see life. I'm not glad when somebody dies. I'm not glad when I lose a dream, or when I lose a relationship, or when I lose a friendship, or when I lose a job, or when I've prayed about something and God didn't seem to answer and do it my way. But here Jesus is saying, this is the best way. I am glad for your sake that I wasn't there, because in the end, this is going to build your faith. But now, let's go to him. And then Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, said to the rest of the disciples, let us all go that we may die with him. You know, what a faith-filled follower of Jesus. You know, all Thomas can see is death. He doesn't see life in this situation. Lazarus is dead. The Jews are out to kill Jesus. He goes back. They're going to finish the job this time. Well, we've followed him this far. We might as well go ahead and die with him. There's just no faith here. And yet there was obedience. And so they went. And we need to follow Jesus. Even when we don't understand, or when we can't see the end, or we can't figure out, and we see gloom and doom, we still need to follow Jesus. We still need to obey him. That's an act of faith. Well, here's the rest of the story. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He was dead. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. It's great to have friends and to have people with us at a time of need, at a time of loss. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever heard that before? You know, Jesus, if you'd have listened, if you'd have done what I asked you to, we wouldn't be in this predicament. How is it that you let this happen in life? Why did I lose my job? Why has my relationship failed? Why has my health failed? Why did my friend die? If you had been here, you weren't there for me when I needed you, Lord. Maybe we felt that. And I think I have. And so here they are. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. I have faith, Lord. I know that you're able to have taken care of him. You could have healed him. He said, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. I wonder how much she really believed. Whatever you ask? Would God raise Lazarus? Was she saying that? There's certainly room in that statement for that to be there. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, yeah, Jesus, I know he loved you. He served God. He's saved. He's going to be redeemed in the end. While it doesn't say here, I'm sure she was thinking, but I'm talking about the here and now. I want my brother to live now. I want this situation to have been solved, whatever it was I'm in. I want this coronavirus gone. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. I'm tired of being cooped up at home. I'm concerned about the economic pressure that I'm going to face. I'm concerned about what life will be like after this is all over. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's where we all need to come to. Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one sent by God. You're the Savior of the world. And I'm part of the world. You're my Messiah. You're my Christ. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And I follow you. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. We didn't read that part of the story, but apparently Jesus said, where's Mary? And so she went and got her. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Well, that's reasonable. And they wanted to be with their friend. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think we've heard that before. And, you know, there we are. How do we deal with, if you'd been here, Lord? You're all powerful. You can handle anything. So why'd you let this happen? Oh, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. So he was moved. That makes me think of compassion. He was moved with compassion, but he was troubled. Why was he troubled? I think he was troubled at their unbelief, at their lack of faith, that he had it under control. That he, even though he hadn't been there, was where he should have been for their benefit. And that's the secret, I think, to faith, or a key secret to faith, is that God is always where he's supposed to be. He's always doing what's best for us. But from our perspective, it doesn't always look like the best, not at the time. Now, when we look back some years later, or when we look back from eternity, when we're with the Lord in heaven, I'm confident that we'll see that it was for the best, even though it didn't seem it now, or doesn't seem now. So then Jesus asked, where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Here we are again. Jesus, if you had been here, you could have healed him. So Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days. Lord, it's going to stink if we open this grave up. Yeah. Yeah. When God brings healing, gets messy sometimes. When God shows up on the scene to right a wrong, gets messy sometimes before it gets better. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So Jesus prayed a prayer for the people around him, not for himself. And he didn't need to build his faith. His faith in the Lord, in God, was concrete. It was firm, it was solid. Nothing was going to shake it. But for the people around him, he wanted their faith to be strengthened and to be encouraged. And so he prayed for us, for our benefit. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Somebody said that the reason Jesus called Lazarus by name was so that not all the graves would be emptied at the same time, but that just Lazarus would come out. And I think there's truth in that, because he's the giver of life. He's the creator. All things were created by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made, we read in John 1. And so Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Whoa. Jesus showed up at a funeral, and it didn't end in a burial. There was a resurrection. There was new life. And we need to let God run the process to the end. You know, if we just stop this story in the middle, if we just stop just where it said Jesus was called to come and he hung around where he was 2 more days, and he knew that Lazarus died, and we stop there, then God failed. And if we look at our life situation and we say right now, this is the end of the story, it might look like a failure. But we've got to let God complete the process. We've got to let him finish his work. We have to let him do it to the end, and then we can look back and see how it turned out. You know, if Jesus, when he was called on the carpet by Mary and Martha, "Lord, if you'd have been here when we called you, if you'd have come, he'd be living." If he'd have stopped there and said, "Yeah, you know, you're right. I messed up. I'm so sorry." Well, that would have been the end of the story, and that wouldn't have been good. But that wasn't the end of the story. And Jesus kept trying to call them to faith. "Don't you know that I'm the resurrection of the life? And don't you know that your brother's going to live again?" And because they watched Jesus take it to the end, because Jesus finished the story, they saw the benefits. They saw the redemption. They saw a resurrection. And I believe we can see resurrections in our life experiences around us if we allow God to complete his work. If we allow him to dig in the mess, if we allow him to roll the stone away, to open the scab, to open the cut, and to heal it from the inside out, let him get to the core of the issue. What was the core of the issue? "You've got to trust me. You got to believe that I'm going to see it through to the end. You've got to believe that I have your best at heart, that I love you passionately, that I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you to the end." And for Lazarus, if this had been the end of life, it wasn't the end of life for him because he had faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, even though you die, you'll never die. You'll live forever. And while we think the worst thing that could happen to us is that we die, from God's perspective, it's totally different. Because death is just graduation or birth into new life. It's life after life. And that's what God has for us. So they took the grave clothes off of him, they let him go, and therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. When we see, allowed God to work through the process to the end and he redeems it, our faith is strengthened. Nothing can shake it then. We saw the finished work. We saw what God was able to do with death, with a process, a situation in life that we thought couldn't be redeemed, that we thought couldn't be worked out, that we thought we could never look back on and say, I'm a better person because this happened. And yet, God's able to do that if we let him. That's our challenge, is to walk with him and to allow him to be God. Allow him to do the whole process. Walk with him to the end, even though it looks bad. I mean, Mary and Martha, they watched their brother die. They saw him buried. They watched that stone be rolled in front of the tomb. That was final as far as they were concerned. Oh, but God, he had a whole different perspective because he knew that come Easter morning, the tomb would be empty. And because Jesus lives, we live. Let's not look for the living among the dead. Let's not try to put God in a box and figure out that he has to do it my way or it won't be right. Because his way is the right way, and it's the best way, and I believe it's the only way to find peace and joy and contentment and happiness and even life. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate life today, and we celebrate the fact that you are the author of life. You're the giver of life. You came, Lord Jesus, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And you made it very clear to us that it's the thief, it's Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, Father, I pray that we will be able to discern the difference between you and the thief, and that when it brings life, when it brings joy, it's you. And when it brings pain and disappointment and bitterness and resentment and death, that's not you. That's not part of your character. You're the giver of life. You came that our joy may be full, and that our peace would be complete. Thank you, Jesus, for finishing the work. Thank you for not stopping at death, but that was just the beginning of life. And so we celebrate the resurrection today. We celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate the fact that as we come to you in faith, believing that you are the Christ and allowing you to be our Lord, that you give us life. You give us life eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we bless you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Who has a testimony that you'd like to share with us this evening, or a prayer concern that we can pray with you about these days ahead? Did you mute us all, Jeremy?
No, I mean, anybody who wants to unmute can unmute.
Okay. I'll start. I got a phone call from my brother this morning, and he told me that one of our cousins, that would be my dad's nephew, passed away during the night. His name is Dale Malin, and he was one of my older cousins, not old by any means. He might have been 71. My guess, is he 4 years older than me, Dad? Do you know?
I don't know.
I think it's 3 or 4 years older than me.
Mark is going to be 40.
70.
Or 70, yeah.
Yeah, so he'd be 71 or so.
Yeah.
So anyway, that came to me as a surprise. I talked to one of his brothers this morning, and then I talked to his mother, my aunt, this afternoon. They were not as shocked as I was, because his health had been failing, and I wasn't aware of how seriously his health had been deteriorating. But, you know, how ironic to pass away on Easter morning. Dad and I were talking Friday. My grandmother, Dad's mother, passed away 1973, but it was on Good Friday. And now here, her grandson dies on Easter Sunday morning. So, you know, it was bittersweet. I mean, there's a part of me that my heart goes out to his family at their loss, and I'll miss seeing Dale at family gatherings and times when I got to see him. But I know he loved the Lord. I know he lived for the Lord. And so I don't grieve for him. I thought this morning, that noon, while we were sitting eating our Easter dinner, that, you know, Dale didn't get to eat the Easter dinner that his wife was going to be preparing. But he did better. he ate at God's table. And somehow I think, as much as I love Pansy's cooking, and, you know, that somehow what God prepares for us is going to be even better. So she's nodding her head here. She's not, I didn't offend her with that statement. So anyone else have something that you can share with us or would like us to pray about? Any comments or reflections or questions for clarification about the message? Okay, I trust you've been blessed. I've been blessed, and we look forward to a great week coming ahead, and we'll get together again next Sunday evening at the same place. So tell your friends, invite them, and be blessed this week in the name of Jesus. Thanks for coming.